good to see you, and I trust that you will enjoy our worship together under the leadership of our captains. Before they take over the worship, just to remind you, something you know happens every Sunday, tea and coffee. And again, it's available for you to stay behind in the community hall there and join in fellowship with tea and coffee. There'll be no open air this morning. Wednesday, Friends Together, 1:30 onwards, the elite of the band, or those that are left and can't come, will be coming to Friends Together with a Corps Sergeant Major, and it will be a time of music, laughter, and, well, come and see. You never know what might happen, but that's on Wednesday. The shoeboxes are available for shoebox appeal. They're on the little table as you come in or as you go out, and they're 50p each. If you do take one, please take the leaflet with you, because that leaflet will tell you what can be put in the shoebox and what they don't particularly want. So get your shoebox for 50p. And we're asking you to bring them in on Sunday the 20th of November. Sunday the 20th of November. So you've got a little while to be able to buy the stuff for your shoebox. People are asking if the Christmas tree festival is on, and I can confirm it is on, and they'll be getting all the trees ready on the 5th of December. On the 5th of December, then, for the following week, will be our Christmas tree festival. Thank you very much for listening.
Good morning, everyone. And welcome to worship here at the Salvation Army this morning. On Wednesday night at band practice, Andy Cracknell shared in a devotional and he challenged us. Why do you go to church on a Sunday? Why do you go to church on a Sunday? Sometimes we go out of a sense of habit. Sometimes out of a sense of duty. But I want you, for a few moments, to think about that question. Why are you here this morning? And perhaps having thought about that, what do you want to receive this morning? What's preventing you from receiving this morning? We're going to share together in our responsive prayer. You'll be glad to hear the response is simple and it will be displayed on the screens. Let's have it now, Jackie. And I'm going to say three short prayers, at which point I'll invite you to join with me in the response that is before you right now. Let us pray. Loving Father, we come into your presence with thanksgiving and praise for the love that reaches out to us in our poverty, in order that we might become rich in your blessing. Thank you for the sacrifice of sending your Son and your Spirit into our lives. And together, Father, Son, and Spirit, we honour your sacrifice for us and humbly bow before you. Gracious Jesus, Son of God, we come into your presence in deep gratitude and humility for the grace that has shared your life with us. Thank you for sacrificing this splendour of heavenly unity in order to be with us and to save us from our selfishness. Father, Son, and Spirit, we honour your sacrifice for us and humbly bow before you. Holy Spirit of fellowship, unity, and peace, we submit our lives before the mighty power that seeks to lift us into the life of God. Thank you for your sacrificial, self-effacing fellowship that draws us into friendship with Jesus the Son and adoption as children of God. Father, Son, and Spirit, we honour your sacrifice for us and humbly bow before you. Amen. As we reflect on the challenge I issued earlier, and that Andy issued to us, why are you here today? When the duty is running low, when the desire is running low, when you're questioning the habit, this is why we're here. To worship the God who gave himself on a cross. So it's in response to that that we sing the most basic of Christian creeds. The most basic, the first, the earliest, the simplest, the formulation that encapsulates everything that we believe. That's why I invite you to stand and proclaim together that Jesus is Lord. It's a good one to start with, isn't it? Jesus is Lord. And then when you're asked, what on earth does it mean to be a Christian? Well, that's what the very first Christians said. They said it wasn't Caesar who was Lord. It wasn't the leaders that the Roman Empire had put in over them. Jesus, the Son of God, is Lord. And that's not just a kind of vague proclamation of a fact. It has a direct influence on our lives and how we live our lives. We live our lives with Jesus as Lord. So we do what he tells us. We live according to his ways and, yeah, according to his ways. Jesus is Lord. And we're going to listen to the songsters now. I've lost track, actually, because we've had some questions over the music. What are the songs are singing, Kevin? When God comes near. It fits wonderfully, doesn't it? And we don't even coordinate these things. We look forward to the ministry from the songsters. Thank you, songsters, for a beautiful song of testimony, and I hope we all know that experience of when God, through His Holy Spirit, draws near to us. If it's something that we haven't felt, or something that we haven't felt for a while, I hope it's something that we will seek out. Because God always delivers, it's us that gets in the way. Thank you very much, Songster Leader, for another great choice. Young people, I would like you to come in and join me, and I want you to form an orderly line in front of me here. I've got a bit of a chart. Goodness me, there's still rice from last week on the carpet. I would like you to form an orderly line in front of me, okay? Yeah, Martha, is Hudson coming? Lovely. Hudson can go first. Then we'll have Martha, and I want you to be in a line like this, just facing me. Yeah? Is that all right? Lovely. And we're going to, I've got a little bit of a relay race for you, and a little bit of a challenge that I'm going to explain to you now. So I'm going to ask you to, when I say go, and Connor, can you time it for me, please? If you've got a timer on you, brilliant. So if you can time it for me. So what I'm going to ask you to do, listen in carefully, Martha, I'm going to ask you to put your bag on, put the bag on, pick up a ball, run as fast as you can, put the ball into the basket, run back as fast as you can, take the bag off, pass it to the next person who then does the same thing. Is that okay? Yeah? And Connor is going to time it. So, are we ready? Are you ready? Do you understand, Martha? Yeah, lovely. Are we ready? Ready, steady, go! Pick up a bag, pick up a ball, run, put it in the basket, run. Go. Put it in the basket, yeah, very good, come back. And the bag is going to Ilamex, give Ilamex the bag, quick, because the timer's running down, go. Yeah, brilliant, that's what we like to see, and back. And back in it, we're going to keep this rotation going, so take your place in the queue again. Oh. And here we go, lovely. Yeah, get ready, Felicity. Emily, I'm loving the effort and hard work. Bag on, yeah. Woo. Quickly. Oh no, wait a minute, Felicity. Ah! Yeah, come on, and Hudson's turn next. So Felicity, back to the back of the queue. We've got to empty this basket. On we go, quickly. Hudson, grab a ball and run. Yay! Uh-oh! I'm back, and come back, Hudson, come back. Come back, Martha, are you ready? Come on, yay! Oh, yahoo! Oh, Hudson's been an excellent illustration of what I'm going to say. So thank you very much. Take your place in the back, Hudson. Martha, go. How are we doing for time, Connor? 1 minute. Good effort, guys. Yay, I'm back. Are we ready? Oh, brilliant. Come on, Ayla, go. Emily's ready. We like your competitive spirit. Lovely.
Come on, Emily.
Yay! And it's going to be one last run. One last run. Brilliant. Oof. We're breaking a sweat here. No, oops. Yeah, love it. And go! Are you ready to stop the clock when she's back? Oh, one last go for Hudson. One last go for Hudson. Yay!
Come on, Hudson!
Yay! Well done, Hudson. Well done. Fantastic. Are we ready? What's the time?
2 minutes 20 seconds.
Well done. Do you think you can do it faster? Do you think you can do it faster? Do you think you're going? What ways could we do this faster?
No bag.
Yay! Here we go. Are you ready? Same game. Where's Martha? Martha, do you want to play? No bag this time. Okay, let's go. Connor, are you ready? Ready, steady, go!
Yay!
Yay! And hand it. They're coming up with strategies here to eat some. Oh, very competitive. Whoa! Hudson ready, and go! Oh, and back. Oh, lovely. And, oh, and Martha's going quickly. Are you ready to stop the time, stop the clock? So we had half the amount of balls, admittedly, half the amount of runs, but we went from 2 minutes 20, which would be 1 minute 10, wouldn't it, if we had halved it, to 44 seconds, because we took the bag off. The bag was getting in our way. It was slowing down our running. It was making the transitions, you know, from one person to another. You know, the moment the passing of the bag became complicated. Sometimes, in order to follow God, we've just got to let go of some things. And then everything becomes a lot more easier, a lot more smooth. We can do things a lot faster, and we can do things a lot more easily. Does that make sense? So there might be things that you've got to let go of so that you can follow God. He might ask you to leave these things, but if you do it, you'll do wonderful things for him. Is that good? Thanks for your help. Get your breath back now, because you're very competitive. Thanks, guys. Thanks. And while I tidy up, we're going to sing Every Move I Make. So I'm going to ask you to stand. You'll be glad to hear there's no set actions for this one. But that doesn't mean that we can stand there like this, like a bored guardsman who's been stood outside Buckingham Palace for 2 hours. And we've got to, you know, show me some kind of flexibility. Okay, Jackie, over to you.
Take it.
Ah, good, lovely. Thank you very much, everyone. Sit down. Ben, your performance was outstanding in that song. Thank you very much. He was smiling. It looked like he was enjoying himself. And that's what we're looking for. And the clapping was perfectly musical, as we would expect. And Sheila, do you know what? Sheila, do you know what she's doing? She's going, I'm going to move a little bit, and in that way, he's not going to pick on me. But Sheila, you were wonderful. Lovely. And we're going to listen to the ministry from the band now. Upon Jesus. Yeah. Let's continue in our. Good, I've still not got my breath back. I've really badly planned this meeting. Yeah, let's sing, let's stand and sing together. King of Kings, Majesty, we continue in a spirit of adoration and praise. And we will follow the lead of Penny on the piano. What joy in submission to the King of Kings. Jim's got the Bible reading for us now.
This morning's Bible reading is taken from Luke 14, verses 25 to 35, and is entitled, The Cost of Being a Disciple. Large crowds were travelling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and child, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be a disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, This person began to build and was able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't you first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? And if he is not able, will he not send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace? In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is neither for the soil nor the manure pile. It is thrown out. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear.
Good morning. I just thought I'd let you know. So according to my pregnancy, in 10 weeks' time, it's exactly Christmas Day. Just thought I'll put it out there for you so you know where we are in terms of Christmas. So we're getting there. We're getting close. Right. Last week, we talked about priority, and I really hope that during this week you manage somehow to put some time aside to spend with God, with Jesus, and to pray. And this week we're going to be looking at the cost of being a disciple. And our text this morning that Jim just read for us starts straight away with, If anyone comes to me and does not hate father, mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple, and whoever does not carry their own cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. That's some tough words to listen to, isn't it? He starts straight away. So the thing is, Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem, where he knows that he's going to be betrayed, where he knows that he's going to be arrested. He knows that torture is coming. Death by crucifixion is coming. It's waiting for him. And he knows all of that. And as he's traveling, this crowd of people just journeying with him. And he wants them to know what it means to be his disciple. He wants them to know that they have to be willing to embrace and carry the cost of being a disciple of Christ. Because he knows what's ahead of him. He knows what is waiting for him. And he knows that if that's what's ahead of him, all this stuff that's coming ahead of him, then those who are willing to follow him have also need to know what they're taking on. If he's going to be facing crucifixion, if he's going to be facing betrayal, if he's going to be facing hard time, then those who are willing to follow him have to know what it means and what it costs to be a follower of Christ. So he's telling them this. And verse 6, it's hard hearing him saying, you must hate your wife, husband, where we know that the Ten Commandments will tell us to love our mother and father, to love one another. And here Jesus is saying you need to hate them and you need to hate your own life. But I think he's just trying to make a point across, isn't he? He's just trying to tell us exactly what it means to be a disciple of Christ. He's trying to tell us that everything else comes after. He's not saying hate them. But you can't love them more than you love him. That's what he's saying. You cannot love your wife and your husband, your children, and your own life if you want to be a disciple of Christ, if you don't love him first. That's what he's saying, really. Love me first. If you want to be my disciple, this is what it's going to cost you. You need to put me first before you can put anybody else before me. That's what he wants you to hear this morning. To be a faithful follower of Jesus, it means that no one, no objection or no possession, nothing, no opinion, no expectation, nothing, no property, nothing can stand in the way of us wholeheartedly deciding to follow Jesus. And the story of the rich ruler that's found in Luke 18 is a good example of that. Luke 18:23 says, a certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You should not commit adultery, you should not murder, you should not steal, you should not give false testimony, honor your father and mother. All this I have kept since I was a boy, he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. When he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. And this is what I want us to concentrate this morning. When Jesus told him to sell everything he owns, he became very sad. And this morning, I want us to put ourselves in that point of this rich ruler. And I'm not going to point out what it is that makes you hold back from Jesus. This is something that's personal. For this man here, he was his wealth. It was what he had. It was his money. That's what held him back. This morning, I want you to think about what is holding you back for being a true follower of Christ. And I'm not going to put any ideas in your mind. I'm not going to suggest anything because this is your life. This is your journey with Christ. This is you choosing to be a disciple of Christ. So I'm not going to put in ideas and suggesting things, for example, that or that. No, I'm not going to do that this morning because this is you. This is you saying, I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to put him above everything else. And you know what everything else is that stops you from being a true follower of Christ. So this morning is opportunity for each and every single one of us to stop and put ourselves in that situation where we're having this conversation with Jesus and he's saying, let everything go, sell whatever you need to sell. Whatever it is that he's telling you, I'm not going to put words into your mouth, but right now it's you in front of Jesus and you're having this conversation. You're having this time with him. You're saying, I want to be your follower. I want to be your disciple. And what is Jesus telling you right now? And what is he saying to you right now that is stopping you from truly following him? What is stopping you from going forward? What is stopping you from being who he wants you to be? His disciple, to be just like him. Think about that. I'm going to be quiet for a few seconds. I hope you got something. I want you to hold on to that. Whatever it is that holding you back, hold on to that. And we see that in our story in the Bible this morning, Jesus offers two different examples of people who do not understand what it truly means to fulfill the cost of following him, or the cost of just doing something. So you have someone who's preparing to build a tower and someone who wants to win the battle. He says, you need to prepare, don't you? If you want to build something, you need to put all the plans in place. How are you going to build it? What it's going to cost you? How are you going to move forward? Otherwise, you're not going to finish, are you? And then people are going to be laughing at you. You started something, but you haven't finished. And it's about this king who's gone to war. And it's like, if he realizes that he can't fight, he hasn't got enough men, what does he do? He sends someone ahead to tell the person asking for peace. He's preparing themselves. They're looking at what's going on. And this is what Jesus wants us to do this morning. He said, this is what's going to cost you to follow me. Are you prepared to do it? Don't go halfway and then stop halfway. Don't start and don't finish. He wants you to finish what you have started. He wants you to know it's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. It's going to cost you. I think sometimes we think that being a Christian, being a disciple, is just an easy life. It comes all easy to us. We forget that it has to cost us something, doesn't it? Everything costs something. When I got married, I had to give up my maiden name. You know, I was quite fond of that. I loved it. But I had to give up for to be with Paul. We all have to give up something. It's the same in our Christian walk. It's the same being a disciple of Christ. There's nothing that comes for free. And we know that we live in a world where you have to pay for pretty much everything. And this morning, Jesus is saying exactly the same thing. You want to be my follower? You want to be my disciple? Come on. But here's the truth. This is what's going to cost you. This is why you need to give up. This is why you need to let go of in order to follow me. But the great news is once we do that, he's always there with us, isn't he? He's always there. He takes it, and he always takes whatever we give up to him. He takes it, and he gives us life to the fullest, doesn't he? He makes a way for us so that we can walk and run the race that he's called us to run. And at the end, he says, those who are not prepared to give up everything, they're like salt. That's lost its saltiness. What's the point? What's the point of salt that has lost its saltiness? What flavor is it going to bring to any food? What's the point of having fish and chips and put some salt that has lost saltiness and you can't taste the salt in your fish and your chips? Absolutely ridiculous, isn't it? I know I love my salt in my chips, but when I can't taste it, I'm like, oh, this is not tasting nice, is it? We are exactly the same. If we are not prepared to follow Christ and not prepared to give him, to give up everything, we're just like salt with no saltiness. There's no use to us. There's no point to us, is there? We can claim to be his disciple. We can claim to be Christian. We can claim to live this life. But if we're not ready to face the cost, then what's the point? What's the point of living this life? What is the point? If we do not die to ourselves and live to follow Jesus, then everything we do is out of very little value. Without salt, that is not salty. The quality of our service will be missing. Everything we do will be pointless. We need to make a decision. We need to decide to let go of whatever is stopping us from being true disciples of Christ, to be true followers of Christ, and let him take control, and let him lead us, and let him guide us. When we take the time to put him first and spend time with him, and he speaks to us and he tells us things that we need to let go of, we need to let go of it. What's the point of spending time with him, observing him, and being part of this church and coming every Sunday if we're not prepared to do the hardest work? So to follow Jesus in every day, in everything, in everywhere we go, it means that we have absolutely nothing holding us back. Nothing getting in the way. nothing distracting us. I ask you to think about what is it that you're holding on to that you're just asking you to let go of. We need to let that go. Is it more important to you to hold on to it than to let go? Isn't it better off just let go and let God take control? And Jesus finished by saying, "He who has ears, let them listen." Who has ears, let them hear what Jesus is saying. We heard the call, and Jesus asked us to leave everything to follow him, to live a life of disciple that is all about Jesus. People can recognize Jesus in us. People can see him in us. So this morning, I'm just going to ask you to take time to think about that. What is it that you're letting go of? What is God asking you to let go of? What is he saying, this is what's stopping you from being my true disciple? Can I ask you this morning to let go of it? Put it on the feet of Jesus. Let him take control of that and let him guide you. This morning there's a place of prayer if you want to come and pray about it. You say, God, I can hear you, but I'm a bit confused. Just come and help me to decide. Or you just say, actually, God, I can hear you clearly, and I'm letting go. Then come and let it go. Don't hold on to it. Let it go and let him take control of it. If you want to sit down and just think about it, just do that. But find a way of responding. If this morning God is speaking to you and you hear him saying, I want you to let go of this, don't hold back. Let it go. And as we do, as we think about that, we're going to sing, All I Once Held Dear, Build My Life Up On. All this world reversed and walls to one. All I once thought gain, I've counted loss, spent and worthless now compared to this. Knowing you, Jesus. Knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, you're my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. I love you. Let us sing and take the time to respond the best way you think is best for you. Let's pray. Father God, this morning we come before you and we want to thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that he calls us to be his disciples. And we thank you that he lets us know in advance what it means to be his disciples and what we need to do to be his disciples. So as we think about it this morning, as we move forward, we just ask that you might help us to be true disciples of Jesus Christ. In everything that we do, in every way that we go, Lord, help us to always put you first. Help us to always know that we serve an amazing God who call us to life and life to its fullness. That if we let go of what that's holding us back from running this race properly, help us to let it go, to just put it underneath your feet, Jesus. To say, here it is, take it. And fill us with your strength, Father. Fill us with your love and your joy and your happiness and your courage, Lord Jesus, to serve you. To serve you in a way that you want us to serve you. Not to be shy about it, not to be ashamed about it, not to be 50-50. Sometimes I don't know, sometimes I want to, but to truly serve you 100% of everything that we have and all that we are. So Lord, we thank you that you do call us to be part of this of your work. That you use us, Lord, to serve you. So Lord, as we think about the week ahead, we just ask that you might be with us, you might guide us, you might watch over us, you might protect us, and you might keep us safe. And Lord, we give you all the glory, and we pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Amen. And our final song this morning is Crowning with Many Crowns. So let's stand up and sing this together.
Thank you.
and the benediction. Brothers and sisters, this meeting has come to an end. Go into your week serving your Saviour with love, delighting in the life that God has given you. God be with you till we meet again. Amen. Take your seats before the band plays. We've had Corps Sergeant Major's announcements. We're going to have Captain's orders now. Since you insist on calling me Captain, I'm going to use it. After the meeting, we have tea and coffee fellowship. It's not after the meeting. It's a continuation of the meeting. Stay. Stay. Speak to each other. I was horrified this week. Sheila was putting out war cries in the community hall at places where people sit on a Sunday. Do not sit in the same place. Captain's orders.